The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
We welcome you back to the program, and we begin the second half with some sad news from Honolulu. Colt Brennan, who played for the University of Hawaii, he ran up against a couple of SEC teams, including Alabama, as well as the University of Georgia in the 2008 Sugar Bowl. He was also the 2007 finalist for the Heisman. He finished third. He has passed away in Honolulu at the age of 37 years old. Brennan, according to reports, has had public struggles with alcohol, died, at a hospital in California, according to his father, Terry Brennan, who said he just spent one too many times on the dark side of life, and it caught up with him. We begin the third hour with a conversation with Connor Riley, who covers the University of Georgia, and that has been a pretty major topic of conversation. Connor, thank you for making time for us, and really curious what the topic of conversation has been everywhere you go. Good afternoon.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Paul. Just terrible news about Colt Brennan, great player that I got a chance to watch growing up, and just really sad, and hope for the best for his family.
That is really tough, and I mean, dying at any age, but when you die at 37, of course,
yep.
I'm a long way from that. It just seems ridiculously young. Hey, thanks for being here. Let's talk about the Dogs, and everyone has an opinion of what is all about. We've talked to Kirby Smart twice in the last 2 weeks. As you look at this team, I'm curious your thoughts on the good and the bad.
Well, they're going to be a top five team to start the season, probably closer to five than one, so to speak. If JT Daniels takes the steps forward that everyone sort of thinks he's going to, this could be certainly be a team that I think wins the national title next season. You know, the concerns are in the secondary. I think with what we've seen in college football in recent seasons, the secondary and the defense just don't matter as much in terms of winning a national title as they have. Georgia had a great secondary a season ago, and Alabama, the best offense in the country, just blowtorched them. It didn't really even matter. So if JT Daniels plays up to his caliber and his potential in this Georgia offense, there's no reason why this team can't win a national title.
Except the fact that there seems to be this jinx out there that every Georgia fan is well aware of. Let's talk about that for a second. And how do the Dogs overcome that? They've had great teams in the past that haven't won national championships, as you well know.
Yeah, you've sort of already seen some bad news come its way with George Pickens' ACL injury, and then there's the, you know, four-ton elephant in the room in Alabama and the SEC West, where, yeah, they got to replace Mac Jones in an all-time great offense, but this team is still absolutely loaded, and at the end of the day, Nick Saban is still calling plays there. So as talented as this Georgia team is, and I think it's going to be every bit as good as that 2017 team was, that 2018 team that took Alabama to the end there in that SEC championship game, at the end of the day, Georgia has to find a way to beat Alabama, to get over this hump, and I think ultimately win a national championship. And it starts and ends with that.
You mentioned the DBs, and I've heard that over and over again from Dog fans. Is that it, though, if you're trying to find a weakness?
You could point to the offensive line and wonder what their ceiling is, because you look at the last two national championship winners in LSU and Alabama, those were both Joe Moore award-winning offensive lines, the best offensive lines in the country. Georgia's obviously recruited very well there, but to start the season, they're not going to, I think, be at that sort of championship caliber level. Now, it doesn't mean they can't get there and develop there over the course of the season, but if defensive back is your biggest concern starting the year, your offensive line is your second biggest one, and opening up against the Clemson team that might have the best defensive line in the country, that's going to present a real issue to winning that big first game of the year.
That's a really good point. And, you know, I'm not overly, you know, enthralled with Clemson. I mean, I think everything is good, but maybe not great. But you've just talked about the scariest part of that program, and that's the defensive line, which has been one of their fortes for many, many years under Brent Venables. We're talking about the Dogs with Connor Riley, hey Connor, let's talk about what the Dogs face. We had a guy call a minute ago. Said it's a 2-game season, Clemson and Alabama, and I'm still trying to find Alabama on the schedule. But before we get to Alabama, which everyone knows about, and beyond Clemson, I'm going to go through the schedule for a second because there are some tricky moments. UAB is a good team. I don't expect UAB to beat Georgia. South Carolina, we don't need to go back 2 years ago. That was an aberration. Vanderbilt, Arkansas, good, maybe not great. Auburn, nobody's really all that impressed with what we think Auburn is going to be. But here's the game that I think is going to get a lot of attention. And there's another game after that. Kentucky, this is a game seven of a long black and blue bruising stretch. Any concern about that game on the 16th?
That's a very good point, Paul, especially you look at the last couple of times Georgia has played Kentucky, the last two in particular. Yes, Georgia won both of those games, 21-0 when they last played in Athens and then 14-3 a season ago. But Georgia did not excel, I would say, in either of those games. And I think Kentucky did a great job of mucking things up in both those games. And you look at this recent NFL draft, Kentucky hasn't recruited on the same level that Georgia has, but Kentucky is doing about as good as any sort of middle-tier SEC program in developing NFL talent. And I think Kentucky, at the very least, is going to make Georgia work and try and win that game. You saw a season ago, that Kentucky game fell in sort of a similar spot for Georgia where end of a grueling stretch. They won that game 14-3, but it was incredibly ugly. And Georgia ends up losing, Jordan Davis, a key part of their defense in that game. And then obviously right afterwards, Richard McCown suffers what was basically a season-ending injury and a traffic accident. So that Kentucky team, they're not going to give it to Georgia maybe like some other teams potentially might. So I think it's a very good point when it comes to Kentucky. And I know they get the bye week, and then they get Florida, which you beat Florida, you beat Kentucky, I think you're winning the East this season.
Yeah, and Missouri after that, Tennessee, and Charleston Southern and Tech. I mean, I don't know. To me, you start with arguably the best team in the country, maybe not. And you end by perhaps with Alabama, but other than that, there's considering some of the schedules Georgia has played recently, there's not a lot on there.
No, and that's sort of why I think you hear this talk. I know you brought up the caller that said it was a 2-game season. Really, it's that Clemson game and that Florida game, and I think the lack of a more difficult schedule. Whereas even you look at a team like Alabama, they're going to play a really good LSU team that I think has potential to be great. You're going to play a really talented Texas A&M team and a really explosive Ole Miss offense. Georgia doesn't have that, and especially you look at that back half of the season. We'll see what Missouri develops into, but I don't think Tennessee, Charleston, Southern, and Georgia Tech are really going to push you all that much. So if you can navigate that tricky part of the middle schedule where you're at Auburn, you're home for Kentucky, and then you're Florida and Jacksonville, it sets up to where things could theoretically align for Georgia to have the best team heading into that SEC championship game.
And I think even though it's May, to start debating the SEC championship game now seems trite. Georgia has shown it can play with Alabama. I mean, anybody that's watched the two championship games, one in the SEC, one in the national championship, the Dogs, I don't know if they really should have won both games, but they certainly should have won one of them. I mean, you can make an argument they should have won both games.
Yeah, I you could also make an argument that Alabama deserved to win both of those games. I would say of the two, I actually maybe think that the SEC championship game in 18 was the one that they should have won. Just
right. Yeah, I mean, that game was about to get – that was about to be a blowout.
Yeah, and Jalen Hurts just came in and made some incredible plays for that Alabama team.
Yeah, I agree with you. The other game, it was an ebb and flow game, and I'm trying to remember the moment in that game in Atlanta, which was probably never gets the credit for how great it was because Alabama didn't finish the job. But I mean, there was a stretch in that game that I don't know how you could argue that it was one of the greatest stretches of college football that's ever been played.
I mean, those two teams were trading blow for blow that day, and really, unfortunately, I think Georgia just sort of ran out of gas there in the second half, and there was a chance there where Isaac Nauta had a breakaway early in that third quarter, and if he's able to turn that into a touchdown instead of getting dragged down, then Georgia misses a field goal there. If Georgia's able to get to 35 points sooner, you know, that game, I think, changes totally. And then, obviously, Jalen Hurts comes in. And, again, Georgia fans are probably rolling their eyes. Why is he relitigating this? But it just goes to show Georgia can absolutely play with Alabama. It just needs to make those 2, 3, 4 winning plays, so to speak, that end up tilting them in their favor. Because the reality is when Alabama has played them in recent seasons, Alabama has been able to make all of those plays, and Georgia has not.
So what do you think? Connor, you follow this team, you hear the fans, you converse with them. Where does Georgia end the season? What does it look like?
I absolutely think they're going to win the SEC East, and I think there's a very good chance they're 12-0 entering that game. And if you're 12, if you beat Clemson and you run through your SEC East slate, you might not even need to win that SEC championship game to get into the college football playoff, just like you did with what you saw with Notre Dame a season ago. Having said all that, until I see Georgia actually do it and actually beat Alabama and get that monkey off its back, I just don't want to sit here and say, yes, they can do it, because they've been so close for so long. Basically, my entire adult life. I started going to college in 2012. They came up one play short in the SEC championship game that year. Until I see them do it, I'm just going to be a little skeptical, a little hesitant to come out and outright say, this is a team that is going to beat Alabama.
Even Connor, as soon as I said that, how great the 18 game was, I started thinking about the game in 12. And that fourth quarter, the fact that if Georgia had pulled that off, I'm not sure anything would have topped that win. That was so, so bizarre and so unpredictable. Hey, thanks for coming on. It's always great to talk to you. You be well, and we will talk to you very soon.
No problem. Thanks for having me on, Paul.
Thank you. Connor Riley joining us, talking about the Dogs, and we will get back to your calls. We're pretty open the rest of the way. If you want to give us a ring, 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
We welcome you back. It's great to have all of you here. And the phone number is 855-242-7285. I see a familiar name on that board. Legend in Birmingham. The one and only legend.
What's up? What's up, Coach? What's up, buddy? How you been getting along?
I thought of you a minute ago. I was about to do it. I was doing a show tomorrow, and I won't. And one of the questions they wanted to ask me: are we close? I'm just going to ask you, okay? Are we close to the beginning of the end of the Saban dynasty?
Oh man, Paul, don't even answer that with a no. Come on. man, I want to tell you what's happened, Paul. Now, not only does Nick Saban have 25 first-round draft picks every year, but now we can go handpick 5 stars out of college football free agency. By the way, Paul, thanks for Tutu. I appreciated that.
Well,
but inside line about it.
I knew Pete Golding called me and said, "You got anybody up there in Rocky Top?" I said, "He's our best shot."
Yeah, man. Every time I watch Tennessee, the one player that always stood out to me was Tutu. I said, "Man, that dude right there can play." So, you know, I just want to thank the University of Tennessee for giving us your best player, man. I mean, I didn't know you cared about us that much, UT. Thank you. Thank you. I mean, how's it over, Paul? How's it over? I mean, we put like 10 folks in the first and second round of the NFL draft every year. And guess what? Next year, we're going to do the same thing. And the year after that, we're going to do the same thing. I mean, anybody that thinks it's over, Paul, just ain't in touch with reality. I mean, if you look at that defense coming back this year, Alabama's going to be nasty again. And, I mean, the dynasty is nowhere close to being over, Paul. So do me a favor, because we love you, dude. We respect you. Don't be like the rest of these idiots that's talking about Oklahoma and the puppies. I mean, Georgia. I mean, don't be one of them, Paul. Stand up for the truth. I mean, when the New England dynasty was over, it was over. But when it was going on, it was going on. And Alabama's just still going on, Paul. It's nowhere close to being over. I mean, am I off base here? I mean,
no,
am I
no, you're, on the field, I think you're 100% correct.
Absolutely. And Nick Saban, I mean, he's a young. How old is he now? 70? I mean,
he is still a very young 69.
Yeah, I mean, are you quitting anytime soon, Paul? I mean, you close to 60?
Are you kidding me? Yeah, my wife asked me that the other day. She said, "Well, you know, are you have you ever thought about slowing down?" I said, "No."
Hell no.
Hey, legend, I just like the rest of America, I mean, we've all been home more than we've ever been.
Amen. It's time to get
What's that old Willie Nelson song from the 70s, On the Road Again?
Hell yeah, it's time to get on the road again.
Can't wait to get me back on the road again.
Hey, Paul, who was that put Oklahoma number one? Mark, what's his name?
I don't even remember. It was just somebody was trying. Mark Slaybaugh.
Yeah, here's the thing about Oklahoma. We know who you are. You are the Georgia Bulldogs of the Midwest. That's exactly who you are. We've been watching you in the playoffs ever since they began. We know you're going to be in the conversation, Oklahoma. We know you'll probably make it. But this is what we also know. You're the Georgia Bulldogs of the Midwest. You ain't winning no championship. I mean, it's just reality. How many times have we got to hear Georgia fans and Georgia analysis? Now we got to hear Oklahoma. We know who you folks are. Y'all are running up. And, Paul, before I get off, I just want to tell Gumbo Fisher something. You need to watch how you come out shining your mouth, Gumbo. You really need to watch. Because let me tell you something, Gumbo. We fear Ole Miss in the Lane Train more than we fear you middle-of-the-pack wannabe Texas A&M Aggie. So shut your mouth before you get backhanded by Nick Saban again this year. We don't fear you. We fear the Lane Train, and we don't fear him. We're the godfather of college football. Don't come out of your mouth sideways, Gumbo, because now we're going to beat you down and enjoy it. And for all you JT Daniel Georgia fans, y'all still puppies. Don't believe that mess. Hey, Paul, love you, dude.
Hey, thanks, Legend. Always great to hear from you. Legend bringing some heat today. Anyway, more of your calls at 855-242-7285. And let's talk to Bammer. Thought we just did. Bammer, go right ahead.
Paul, listen. If that guy you just had on, Connor Riley, thinks that Georgia is going to go 12-0, then he is drinking the Kool-Aid the legend is talking about. Let me tell you something. There's a term that old Dabo Sweeney used to hate. It's called Clemsoning. He used to get under his skin, kind of like you. You get under his skin. But here's the deal. Georgia, we can call it Georgia. Georgia always loses a game that they're supposed to win. Hello, South Carolina. Hello, Tennessee. Come on. If they really think that Georgia is going to run the table, then he has got another thing coming. I just don't understand why all these Georgia fans wait till next year think they got a team. What do you think, Paul?
Well, What are you supposed to do, though, if you're a Georgia fan? I mean, you've had great teams that have lost to Alabama. You have, I mean, think of that team in 2012. That team easily would have beaten Notre Dame. You had a team a couple of years ago that probably the 17 team was a play away from winning it. The other team could have won it. I take it back. I don't think that Georgia team could have beaten Clemson. But you're still talking about many missed opportunities. I mean, Rick had a couple of great teams that managed to find a way to blow it.
Exactly, Paul. Managed to find a way to blow it, and I think that's what Georgia does. That should be the motto, their tagline. We've managed to find a way to blow it. Hey, Paul, you have a good day.
Hey, thank you. It's really good to hear from you. Let's continue. Legend apparently has got a few people upset. Paul in Jackson, Mississippi, you're on the air.
Hey, Paul from Jackson, first-time caller, long-time listener. I wanted to respond to Legend. I like Legend. He is a legend on your show. But if he's thrilled for the for the linebacker we gave him, he's got to get his name right. You know, it ain't Tutu. He ain't dancing with something around his, you know, like a ballerina. His name's To'o To'o. So get it right, Legend.
I will make sure Legend goes to his Strunk's grammatical guide and corrects. So one more time, how do you say it?
To'o To'o.
To'o To'o, okay.
It's T-O hyphen O, T-O hyphen O.
He was close. Hey, thank you for the call. Nick is up next. Hey, Nick, thanks. Good afternoon.
Hey, how you doing, Mr. Feinbaum?
We are doing really well. Thank you.
I just have two things to ask you. I mean, I'm a huge South Carolina fan. I went to school there. My twin brother and I have been, I mean, fans our whole life. Father went to school there, mother, everybody. It's been rough the past few years, but I was going to ask if you think it's realistic that South Carolina could get back to a bowl this year. I haven't really heard you guys talk too much about it, but I'd love to hear your opinion.
I am not optimistic, no. We're talking about this upcoming season.
I understand, yeah.
And I've said it constantly. I really like Beamer. I think he's brought an infusion of excitement. But you look at this. I'm going to run through the schedule for a second. That's the only way to figure it out.
It's tough. Yeah, it's
Eastern
tough.
Illinois, East Carolina, Troy. I see three games there. Three wins. Can we find a fourth? Georgia on the road, no. Kentucky at home, don't think so. Tennessee, maybe. That's a toss-up game in Knoxville. A&M, no way. Florida at home, I don't think so. Missouri and Columbia, I don't think so. Auburn, maybe. Three, I see five, maybe. Possibly, okay? I know I'm sounding wishy-washy. If they need to turn one of those games that are toss-ups, and they could maybe scratch out six wins, maybe.
Yeah, I think that's correct. I think that's where a lot of Gamecock Nation is sitting at right now. I mean, I'll be at ECU, I'll be at Georgia. I know the East Carolina game will probably be sold out. That could also go the other way. Troy is usually pretty respectable. We don't want to, you know, walk into that thinking we're high and mighty, but
here's my issue, and I'm leaning on people who have been to spring practice, and you never know what somebody else sees. What a friend of mine told me that had been there was this: he just didn't see a lot of difference maker players. Now that doesn't mean you can't be good with a good coach and molding them, but this team is devoid of great talent. I think you know that.
Yeah, of course. The spring game was not very flashy. I mean, it is what it is.
Hey, thank you for the call. I really appreciate it. And I was not.
Yeah,
I was talking
you,
about just this day to day. But you don't know right now. You know, with the way the portal is, you could pick up a couple of difference makers overnight. I mean, South Carolina's lost a couple of really good players. So heading to a break. Your phone calls continue, and we are opening up lines with everybody saying goodbye. 855-242-7285. Much more to come right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We welcome you back. It's great to have all of you here. Legend has really stirred up a hornet's nest. We'll get to some more reaction to him in just a minute. Right now, Jeff is in Columbus, Ohio. Hello, Jeff.
What's going on, Paul?
Jeff, we are doing great. What's up with you?
Hey, it's good to hear old Legend come in and raise the blood pressure on the show a little bit.
Man.
I mean, I was afraid you might have to get the defibrillator out. The show was so dead here for a while, but it's nice to see the blood pressure rise up a little bit tonight.
Yeah, every time somebody wants to write us off, we have that, just that slight comeback.
I know, and I love it. Hey, Paul, do you ever say anything on the show or talk to people and people hear what they want to hear and not what you really said? Does that ever happen to you?
Oh, it's happened to me a couple of times when it was really, really painful because people completely misunderstood and misrepresented.
Right. I think it probably happens to you daily. But last week or whenever it was, a couple of weeks ago, when I called in, you might remember, I said that I think the Georgia fans call in to have you validate that they might be good this year. You remember that?
I do, yes.
Yeah, so I'm talking about their fan base. And some clown Georgia fan comes in about 3 minutes later and wants to remind me where Justin Fields came from. Hey, I know he's from Georgia, but what's that got to do with what I was talking about? It has nothing to do. I didn't say one thing about a Georgia player, did I?
No.
Yeah. So I don't get where these guys are coming from. It's time to pick. I love it, man. People need to climb all over these Georgia fans because I told you that night, Paul, they've got their tail between their legs coming to you to tell them they're going to be good because they don't believe they're going to be good because, like Legend said, they always find a way to mess it up. That's their MO. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, last night or two nights ago, I heard you had an LSU guy call in and ripping on LSU and said he wanted to hear from some LSU fans, didn't he?
That is exactly right.
Yeah, and I think he called out Augie, and I got to give Augie some credit. I think I've heard Augie come in and say he's, you know, really upset and infuriated by a lot of these accusations at LSU. But you know who I'd love to hear from? Where's old Righteous Fred from Plano, Texas?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that guy,
I haven't heard from him in
some
time.
LSU was above and. Yeah, I haven't heard from him either, but I'd love to hear what old Righteous Fred has to say about his beloved Tigers. I mean, yeah, it's a mess down there, but it just kind of, that's the first person I thought of, Paul, when that guy said that. But hey, how about old Urban? Urban's got things stirred up, doesn't he?
Yeah, I just read an article. You may have heard the guy on ESPN today talking about there's division in the franchise. You know what? You and I know Urban. There's no division if he made a decision.
Right.
He'll get rid of. By the way, he'll get rid of those who are divided.
Urban doesn't really care what all these people are thinking, does he?
No. It was Jeff Darlington was on Get Up this morning, and he had this this interesting comment. He said that there's a lot of people down there that aren't happy about this.
Yeah, I mean. Paul, when you hire people, like if you were to leave and go to another station or whatever, don't you sometimes go to the people that you trust? I mean, in business every day, people hire people, maybe not because they're the best or whatever, but they trust them. You know what I mean?
Well,
and
sure.
You could get inside even
the organization I work for and – guarantee you could quote anonymous sources as saying that they don't agree.
Right. I mean, I don't understand why all these talking heads like Golic, I heard him rise up here yesterday I mean, well, why are they so stirred up about this? I really don't understand why are they so stirred up about Tebow.
Well, I was on with Keyshawn Johnson today. Hold on a second. Let me play this. Emily, I don't know if you can grab the Keyshawn Johnson cut about Tim Tebow. I want to get your okay. Here's what Keyshawn said.
It's laughable. It's a problem on both sides to me. Here's the problem, starting with the Jacksonville Jaguars. You're trying to rebuild something from the ground, or build something from the ground up. And I understand the relationship that you have with a coach. All coaches tend to bring in, like Jay said, people that kind of understand their program and you know, but not 6 years after they retired. Stop it. Call it what it is. This wouldn't happen to nobody else except Urban Meyer and Tim Tebow. But Urban Meyer also must understand that those people that are inside that locker room, those players, they sitting there going, what the hell are you doing?
There you go.
I mean, why are these guys got to spout off? How do they know that Tebow won't earn the trust of his teammates? That's what I don't get. I mean, why not give it a chance and then critique it? All these guys got to jump up anymore and make a name for themselves and get out on the front page before they even know how things are working out. That's what drives me nuts about the media today, Paul. And they're not accountable, like I've said for years, in what they say before they – because they could be wrong and nobody really cares because they do it every day. I mean, you see where I'm coming from?
Well, part of the issue, you're right about a lot of it, but part of it is that, and I find myself in this situation, especially in the fall when I'm doing multiple shows on big platforms where there's no nuance. I can say something here and infer one way or the other, but on those shows, whatever you say, it's disseminated, and it's usually disseminated in the most inflammatory manner possible.
Right. But, I mean, if Tebow doesn't make the team and he gets cut, you know, whatever. I mean, all these guys are going to rise up again and this and that. I told you so. But if Urban wants to bring him in, let Urban bring him in. I mean, if I want to hire a guy in my business, I'm going to hire him. I just don't understand the outpouring of you know, the how much – obviously, Tim Tebow and Urban Meyer are lightning rods, you know, for a lot of people, and I just don't understand it. I really don't.
It's a good question. Hey, thanks, Jeff. It's always cool to hear from you. We are heading to a break. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
And we are back here on a Tuesday afternoon, and Johnny is up next. Hey, Johnny, thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
I had an idea on the NIL, and I'm going to tie it into sort of like what Legend was talking about.
Yes.
The NIL may be the end of all dynasties because
you're right.
In order for guys to get paid for their name, likeness, and image, they got to be on the field playing. And all these guys that have these guys that sit on the bench for 2 or 3 years before they get on the field, those players want to go somewhere where they can get on the field.
No, you're right about that, completely.
I mean, so it may equal it out a good bit there. You know, all these, so everybody would be having better players, and then there'd be more competition. There'd be more folks in the playoffs because different teams. And then I got something to say about you and when you're reading the schedules for all these teams and you look at it and you say, well, they got Auburn, that may be a win. Well, Auburn's still a very talented team and they're going to win some games. And Georgia and Alabama better not be sleeping when they come to Auburn because Auburn can get on them too.
Yeah, I mean, I'm aware of that. I've been to Auburn, seen some tremendous wins, but I'm just not convinced that they have the players this year that can compete with Alabama and Georgia.
And they may not. I mean, but they're still a good, talented team, and we got to see what the new coach is like. We haven't seen him yet.
No, you're right. I mean, we have no idea. We know what he's done, but we don't know what he's going to do.
That's right.
Well, thank you for that call. Thank you very much.
I got sure. One comment on Jeff.
Take your time.
He must have very good workers for him, and if he's building houses, because it seems like he spends all his time watching and listening to talk shows, sports talk shows, because he knows what's said on every one of them.
That's a good gig, isn't it?
I tell you, it is. You just, hey, I need y'all to go build this house. I'm going to watch this talk show.
I'm gonna listen to the Feinbaum show today. Go ahead and finish that that subdivision.
That's it. All right,
well,
Paul,
thank you for thanks for calling. I appreciate it very much. You take care of yourself. Let's continue. And William, who is up next in Florida. Hey, William, thank you.
Hey, Mr. Feinbaum, how are you doing today?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Glad to hear it. So my question was, so I'm a diehard Florida Gator fan, so a couple of things. How do you see us doing this year? Because we kind of, shoot the bed with the last four games of last season. But we have Emory Jones coming in and Anthony Richardson as our quarterback, you know, as the backup. I just kind of had a question for you because I've respected you for so many years now. How do you see us doing this year?
Well, thank you for saying that. I think the Gators are going to have a very good year. I see them winning most of the games. I don't see them winning against Georgia. And okay. I'm trying to think if I see another loss. But I see two losses on the schedule right now. And I think they're pretty obvious which ones they are. They're LSU and Georgia.
Yes, sir. Yep. That's kind of what I see as well. And, you know, the Georgia game last year I was very surprised by and was happy where I was there in limited capacity. So it was a good experience for me because as the last few years, as you know, we have not done well against Georgia. So that was a good highlight. But the end of the season was not too great. So,
well, I think it was really a pretty good year. And I know that you can't wipe away the ending, but it was progress. And that's what Dan Mullen needed to do. He needed to show that this program was back, and I think it is.
Which I like seeing too. And I think Emory Jones, you know, as a good dual threat, he can bring a different thing going on there. I don't know if we're gonna quite do the Chris Leak Tim Tebow thing like we did with Trask and Emory last year, but Anthony Richardson I think also has good potential. But, you know, I really like to see us, you know, kind of be in contention. But as you said, you know, unfortunately, as diehard as I am, I think we're going to lose a couple games. But you know, this is kind of way the cookie crumbles. I think we need to get some more, you know, Dan Mullen needs a little more time to kind of develop that program.
Well, great to hear from you. Thank you so much. You take care of yourself. We have a few more moments here on this segment, and let me check in with Bobby, who is in Atlanta. Hey, Bobby. Thank you. Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. Fellow Memphian, fellow UT fan. So
oh, wonderful.
I'd like to talk a little bit about the quarterback situation in Tennessee this year. I know that
sure.
The new coach has got his hands full. The opportunities with all the stuff in the transfer portal, you know, with the linebackers leaving and everything else. So he's definitely going to have his hands full. So I guess my question is, when I look at the quarterback situation, they've got the guy from Virginia Tech that's going to be a potential starter. They've also got the transfer from Michigan. They got Bailey that finished the year as a starter. And so I guess my question is about Brian Maurer. And so I watched him play in person, watched him on TV. He reminds me a lot of Tua, you know, when Tua played at Alabama in terms of his athleticism. You know, he's got a cannon for an arm. So do you think he's got a realistic shot of being the starter this year? I know he's got his struggles off.
Well, that's a tough question. You also have I think you mentioned Milton coming in. Hey, I hate to run. Let me answer this when we come back. Thanks so much for the call. I hate we had to cut that short. We will come back. Another hour to go right after this.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.